I want to just touch again on this as to who is this for. I want you to turn to the first chapter and let's read verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 1. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints, now look at this, with all, that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Dear young people, the Corinthian believers are long gone. You and I are still here, and this is a word from the Lord for us today. And it's a word that is going to have, if we receive it, if we accept it, it is to have a response from you and I. We're going to come at the end of this chapter to the response that the Lord is looking for from those that he has shown. We live in a world that has no hope. Paul has said to the Ephesians, really, that the Gentiles were without God in this world. They had no hope. The Jews, Peter addresses, and he speaks to those that have been begotten again unto a living hope. So many had nothing. But here is the mystery. Here is that which others don't know. It doesn't apply to them, but it does apply to you and I. We shall get the force of such a word. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Well, how quickly? In a moment. And I think, well, a minute. Is that what it means? 60 seconds? Oh, the Spirit of God comes in and he says, I want to show you how quick this change is going to be. How fast? Somebody said, well, last year, I think, we were on this. How fast is the twinkling of an eye? The sparkle, just the little glitter of the twinkling of an eye. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Is this going to happen? You know, it's this that carries us through days of difficulty here. This is a difficult, troubled world. It is a sin-sick world that the believer has been left in. But we are those that are strangers here. We are pilgrims. We're on our way home. And this is the beacon, isn't it? This is the hope that the believer has of being with the Lord Jesus, of being like him, of seeing him even as he is.
I'd just like to touch on two phrases. The first in 51, we shall not all sleep. So that first gives us some information that tells us that he's referring to somebody that has already gone before. Okay, then in verse 52, the expression, and the dead shall be raised. So again, this is referring to someone who has passed on already before. And just to tie in a thought with Emil and the heads that he brought before us in the introduction today, and just look at these verses that we didn't read, and just to tie things together here, verse 20 of our chapter. We have what we had yesterday, the risen Christ, Christ risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of them that slept. There's that word again, sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So if Christ, who is the first fruits from among the dead, we had that yesterday as the risen one, then now those who are going that sleep, as we have in verse 51, the dead that we're referring to also here in this chapter, they are the after fruits, that which Christ brings, because now underneath, having come underneath this new head, no longer under Adam, but now under Christ, we, being under him, are the after fruits of his resurrection, and that we will be joined with him in resurrection.
I have a question as it ties to this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse 53 it says, "For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality." You know, this passage and several others in Scripture seems to convey that, you know, when we are resurrected, we'll be resurrected in a body. Because I think a lot of times, you know, when we, at least for me, what's thought of with respect to, you know, what's going to happen in that day is we feel as though we're going to be all spirits in heaven. We're going to be floating around, you know, as if in a spirit world. But Scripture teaches that when we are resurrected, it's going to be resurrected in a perfect body. So I guess the question that I have is, you know, what's the significance of that bodily resurrection?
And I think that it's good, Greg, that you brought this point, because chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians is speaking specifically about the resurrection of the body. And the mystery that he's speaking about in verse 51 is not the resurrection. Resurrection was not a mystery. It was known in the Old Testament. Remember, the Sadducees did not believe in resurrection. The Pharisees believed in resurrection. So the resurrection was known in the Old Testament. It's not a mystery. The denial is that the body that is corruptible, that is mortal, when you die, that's the end of it. There are Greek philosophers that believe that the spirits are immortal and they will be, like you said, be floating around. The greatness of Christianity is this, that this body that is poisoned by sin and have seen corruption. Now, this is the greatness of the work of the cross, that it will be change. This is the ability and the greatness of Christ, that this body that is decayed, put in the grave for 100 years, for 1,000 years, for 4 days, it is corrupted. Now here is the power of God that would raise that body in incorruptibility. But greater yet, how about when he said, we are not all going to sleep. Now, this is even, well, I shouldn't say greater. I don't know which one is greater, that you do not see death or your body is raised from among the dead. I think both are just great. The work of Christ is great. Let me just say that.